Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Jasaris Love Show. I am so excited to be here. I am Cynthia Williams, Jasaris Love Johnny. And I am so grateful to the Creator for giving me another day of breath, of water to drink and some food to eat and to be around my family, my mom who's 90 years young, and my beautiful sister who's 10 years younger than I, and all my brothers and my family, my uncles, and you, the wonderful, wonderful audience of Home-Based Business 101. I guess as I speak, one of my uncles is trying to get me, but I can't talk to him right now. But anyway, I hope I don't lose you while I'm in the process. But I just want to thank the entire listening audience of Home-Based Business 101, the platform created by Baba Titawi Jahi quite a few years ago. I want to thank all of the thousands of listeners and supporters and just people who just want to come on and just feel curious, expanding their mind. You may not agree with everything that we share, but I hope that you get something that can expand your mind, can bring peace to your heart. For those of you who have taken advantage of the tax guru's information, I hope it has improved your finances, your pocketbook. And please tell a friend. When Baba Titawi Jahi has helped you with your taxes, I want you to understand something, and that is what he's doing is real. This is all based on laws that Congress has passed. And this is based on what the IRS has deemed acceptable. These are forms that they created for citizens to complete their taxes for each year. So if he was able to help you through your tax situation, for example, if he was able to reduce the cost of your taxes, if you weren't due anything back, but you know you were able to offset some things, if you put you in a better tax situation, you need to, out of obligation to people who you really call your friends and family and loved ones, you need to give him as a reference. You need to refer him to everybody. You need to be honest and say, look, I had a serious tax situation last year or a couple of years ago, and this gentleman, through the laws of the Constitution of Congress, through the laws of the IRS themselves, was able to help me. And since I'm your friend, I would like for you to be in a better position too. And so therefore, everybody on the sound of my voice who's ever been helped by Baba Titawi Jahi, you should be telling Lottie Dottie and everybody. And I know that everybody's not going to use the tax service, but each one of you should at least have 2 to 5 more referrals coming to Baba Jahi, because you know that he helped you. Some of you owed money, but because you have a home-based business and you've been doing what you're supposed to legally, legitimately, and ethically do and operating your business, you got back the money that you were supposed to get back. Some of you got back $3,000 to $15,000, if not more, because you have a home-based business. And Baba Titawi Jahi, specifically him, helped you to be able to find out information that you did not know in the past. So I just wanted to put that out there to advocate for another person, the person who actually created this Home-Based Business 101 platform. And again, thank all the listeners. But we can have all the knowledge in the world and we can have all the experience in the world, but action is the main thing. Knowledge without action, appropriate action, is dead. Is this something that you have in a book? The book has never been opened. Or you opened the book, but you didn't tell somebody else what a wonderful book you had, how you learned something really important out of the book. You went to a movie and you learned something, but you didn't come tell anybody else. Look, you ought to go see this movie, because not only is it a good movie, but it educated me. And that's what I'm telling you to do. Also, on Mondays at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you can listen to the wonderful Victoria Falk on travel. She is another one of our travel partners. Baba Jahi is also in the travel business, and if you listen to his show quite often, he will have a giveaway for you. So make sure you listen to his show at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And here I am, 12 noon Friday afternoon, the Jasaris Love Show. And Jasaris means audacious, bold, bold love. And it takes a lot to love through all the circumstances that we're going through, right now in this country. One of the things that you'll see that I'm talking about on my, give me just a second, I want to pull this up, on the, that I'm talking about on the show is peace. And today's topic is adults, how we set the tone for peace. A young person recently rammed his car through a crowd of peaceful opposition protesters. This is in Charlottesville, Virginia. What could possibly be factors that made him choose to use violence? That's the topic that I really want to cover today. What would make this person use violence as opposed to a more peaceful way of dealing with his emotions, his beliefs? Is there another way that he could have handled this situation? Well, because I come from a feeling of peace, from a peaceful movement, from having looked at the Dr. Martin Luther King's peaceful strategy, the one that he was using at that time, just after looking at yesterday, Gandhi in Oakland, India, how he worked so fervently to have peace, to have independence for his country from the British through a peaceful mechanism, and also how he worked to have peace between the Muslims there and the Hindus there. Then I looked at another movie, which was not a documentary, but it was called The Last Legion, and had to do with the end of the Roman Empire. Both very interesting because they both really were talking about peace. And it's something that even if you are a peaceful person and you're practicing peace, it is a work to go through until it becomes a part of your DNA. I am overall a peaceful person, but believe me, you know, I've got my work cut out for me. I have a book that I'm going through right now called Taming Your Tongue. It talks about gossiping and things like that. And trust and believe, it's not an easy one to stop because gossiping kind of can be on a sensitive line of being informing, having a conversation, and just out and out gossiping. Sometimes we just do it because we're angry, we're sick and tired of the situation, you know. And I found myself actually doing that the other day. I was just sick and tired of a particular situation and just wanted to share it with a couple of people. They were sharing some things too. But at the end, you know, like a day later, you think about it, right? It's like, wow, that was really just gossip. At the time, you know, I felt like, wow, you know, I just wanted to share a particular thing. But whatever we say, whatever we do, it can cause harm. One of my grandmothers had to say, my grandmother Geneva Palmer said, you might not mean any harm when you say something, but you can cause a lot of harm. So as we begin to talk and share things, we have to really, really, really think about, is what we're about to do or say, is it going to make the situation better, or could it cause harm? We all know sometimes, but we have to think about that. And that goes for myself also. Just in being, I guess, a woman wanting to talk, and men, I know men can go too, you know, these guys can go, as far as it actually being gossip. But getting back to this guy who, 21-year-old, I believe, and I'm going to call him a young man because what he is, according to, you know, the legal age in the United States, I believe 18 years old, he's considered legally an adult. Ramming his car in a crowd of people that he disagreed with, and he disagreed with them to the point that he was willing to cause death and cause major bodily harm to people who he just had been taught or he had found a way to hate. Now, according to his mother, she had told him to be careful when he left that day. She was aware of his views. She knew where he was going. I don't have any idea if she knew that he planned on doing anything, if he said if he could or would. I don't know. They'll investigate that, and they may or may not ever find that out. But a lot of times, people get the courage and the nerve to do things because of the way that they have been taught, or the if for example, he's been following a lot of any of the negative things that's out here, be it from the neo-Nazis or be it from whoever these people were that were at this event, the KKK. If he follows that type of belief closely, And if he goes to those type of meetings, then there's nothing else that he's going to get out of that but anger, hate, and violence, the ability to create a violent act. However, you could take a person who may have read about the person whose statue was being taken down. Maybe to them, that person at some point was considered a hero because they wanted, they were from the South, they wanted their particular town or city to have won those battles, you know, the Civil War. Okay, so that person has been built up as a great fighter, warrior, or something along that line. A person could take that piece of history, but then they have to learn how to temper it with reality, and the reality is that that war ended with the South being defeated, and nobody likes to be defeated. Nobody likes to say that they're the ones. Nobody likes to lose in bowling. Nobody likes to lose in basketball, baseball. Nobody wants to be the one who lost. And so people have these attitudes, but there's got to be a mechanism of something that somebody finds that can help them turn that around and have it be a reality. This is what really happened. The country is moving on. The South will not be the land of cotton and with African people picking cotton and being treated as animals. No longer will be their property. This, we're moving on to a whole new way of thinking. And laws have been in place. People have fought. People have died. Let's move on. But unless a person gets that, is put in a place where they can see it, hear it, feel it, want it, desire it, and believe it, then they're left with hatred, wrong information, and violence. And then the guts or the nerve to take and do a violent act, ego, edging guard out, ego. Believing that whatever they decide to do, that's the best thing to do out there. They're going to teach these people a lesson. And that's what they believe. What is his fate? I have no idea. Will he be in prison with people who still believe as if he does and continue to be a bully there, a hateful person there? Will he go to prison and be someplace where he's around a lot of people who actually hate neo-Nazis and hate KKK people? And will he live a life of torture? I have no idea. Will he get any kind of death penalty? Really, what he did was first-degree murder, as far as I'm concerned, and it was premeditated because he deliberately, you know, got behind the wheel. He thought it out, and he positioned himself to sneak up on the people and do what he did. So really, it really is going to be out there to be seen. But how can we, as adults, send a message to anyone, whether it is someone around our age, whether it is a young child, whether it's a student in the classroom, to handle the opposition, to handle someone with a different point of view in a non-violent way? How do you do that? How do we make ourselves aware of whether or not what we're saying is inciting somebody to be mad, inciting somebody to lose it and go do something that they should not do? And I can't say that they wouldn't have done it anyway, but a person has to kind of immerse themselves in a certain type of belief to even be driven to want to drive through a crowd of people, to hurt people that you don't know. Men, women, I don't know if there were any children there. There may have been some new people on campus who just happened to be there in that spot, standing there at that time. Who knows? I don't know. I have to look back and see if they've released any more information on the other people that were terribly, terribly injured and the fact that there was a death. So it is something that everyone has to ask. And it even goes to gossiping. It goes back to whatever you get up in your house and you're talking about in your house, around your children. Perhaps you have a neighbor that you didn't get along with. The neighbor could be the same racial, ethnicity, and religion as you. And for example, maybe you have a neighbor who has dogs that smell. I've experienced that. I had a situation where my neighbor's dog kept coming in my yard, and I could have taken an attitude and gotten mad because the dog punched holes through the fence. I could have been, you know, terribly angry to see this dog all over the yard, but because I don't come from a place of anger, because I don't come from a place of hate, I just thought it was kind of funny to see this dog in the yard. Now, if I had small children, they were out there in the yard, I would have been out there with them anyway, because that's the kind of person I am. But if for some reason I had children that were old enough, maybe some 7, 8-year-olds that were in the yard, and I'm looking out the window, and this dog came in, I might have been a little afraid, you know, not knowing if the dog would bite, but I don't have to be boiling over the top angry, out of control. And it is something that I believe that everybody's got to just stop. Take a deep breath. Hold it for a few seconds and release it. And do that 4 times, you know, one right after the other. 4 deep breaths, hold each one, release. And then ask yourself, say to yourself, this too shall pass. To say that, and you can say, let me calm myself down and think this out, whatever it is. And this is something I think we should practice every hour, every day. Every hour, every day, because trust and believe, at some point in time, in some hour during the course of your day, you will be tested. And it could be anything from a dog coming into your yard, not meaning any harm, or one ferocious dog coming into your yard tearing things up and you know, maybe biting people. My husband was bit by the dog of a friend, and my husband did not lose it. He almost lost the body part, but he didn't lose his mind behind it because he already has a calmness within him. He already has so much love and peace in his heart that he just did not had that kind of attitude when he was attacked by a friend's dog. The dog owner was so upset, so apologizing, so ready, and did pay that hospital bill and all of that. And the whole entire family was just so concerned and upset. But that was that kind of family. It could have been a family where they said the opposite, where they were more protective of the dog. And didn't care about my husband, but thank God, you know, he chooses his friends carefully. And these were friends. The entire family is a friend of my husband because they all were deeply, deeply from the husband, the wife, and the children were all deeply concerned, and the dog had to be dealt with. Unfortunately, had to be put to sleep because it had either already bit someone a few days before, a week or two before, a month before, or afterwards. But the main thing is what is in you when all hell breaks loose? What is in you when somebody makes you angry? What is in you? Do you have a point where you can just stop? I'm telling you right now, I'm still working on me, okay? My sister can tell you too. There are moments when I don't stop as far as maybe saying something. I'm not one to do a lot of anything really physical, though. I'm not into that physical stuff. But now I say most of the time I temper myself. I may do a lot of talking to myself, or I might just discuss something, you know, with her or whoever's near me, like, oh, man, blah, 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 blah. But I'm not going to do anything that's going to be dangerous or put myself in danger or cause anyone else physical harm. Now, that takes a moment to think. Now, what helps us to get there, though? In my case, I have to be honest with you. It was my upbringing. It was my parents. Thank God my parents didn't go overboard whenever they were correcting us. Yes, we got a couple of spankings. Excuse me, here and there. For things that we should not have done. But, excuse me, something in my throat. For the most part, my parents had conversations with us, so many conversations that there were things you just didn't even think of doing. And there was that love and that respect. Some of the things that we may have done was just silliness, just silly things. I can't think offhand of any particular one. I do remember one time my brother, who was older than me, was allowed to be outside while my parents weren't home, but he was told to come in by a certain time, and I locked the door because he didn't come in at that time. And then he pushed against the door so hard, he broke the door through. And my dad was pretty mad that day and went chasing him through the house and out the backyard. That was kind of funny to me, one time to my brother at that moment. But then my dad stopped, you know, and a couple hours later, my brother came home and everything worked its way out. And I do remember one time myself, I actually mouthed off at my dad, and I had to run up the steps myself that day. But my dad ran halfway up the steps and stopped me, you know, actually had lost my mind pretty much. I probably had. I was 19, and it's probably time for me to move out, you know, at that point. But the thing of the matter is that there, and there was, because I came home like 3 o'clock in the morning, and what the really good father wants his daughter, I was 4 o'clock. Fathers don't want their daughters coming home at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, really decent fathers, there's a time that they want us to be home. And that's the truth. I mean, let's just be honest. So, you know, if you come dragging in and you come from a household where you've been taught certain things, then you need to expect to be questioned and to understand that your parents just love you. They really, really love you, and they want you to be on the right track. And that's why they do that. So it was clear to me that my parents loved me, and that is why I got questioned when I did something that I just shouldn't do. But there were other things in my household that, again, kept us in a peaceful type of order, and that was the type of TV shows that we looked at. Because, you know, back in the day, you really didn't have a lot of violent shows, but if there was anything that could be violent, there were things in place, ratings on TV shows, that kept us from looking at things that we really didn't need to look at, we may not have understood. But if we did look at something like the news, I remember my dad had to sit down and look at the entire Jewish Holocaust. I remember my dad and my mom had to sit down and look at Roots. And they talked us through the process. What was going on during the Jewish Holocaust? So we could understand that a group of people were being wiped out. And the message that was being used and how evil that was. And I was 9 years of age, and I was scared to death looking at the Jewish Holocaust. And I was much older. I think I was like 18, I think, or 19 when the movie Roots came out. I was still scared to death looking at this black man's foot being chopped off and all the other things that came out to explain to us, you know, about slavery and then our fight for freedom and then, of course, the Civil Rights Movement and the Black Panthers fighting for our right to their arms and liberation and our right to be treated as equal men and women of this country. So it's a lot in putting yourself in the right perspective. If I was to participate, and I have participated in marches, there are always peaceful things that I'm interested in participating in. Because I personally can't see going out somewhere and physically attacking people that feel different about what I, you know, my opinion. They have a different opinion from me. And to take and run across a group of people who don't have any idea what you're going to do, that's insane. And sometimes somebody might say, hey, that's good warfare. But when you really think about it, then those people think, okay, well, if there's an innocent person who doesn't even, if you just happen to be there, then maybe it's tough luck. That's just a casualty of war as far as they're concerned. But we have to pay attention to what our children and young people are exposed to and who is exposing it and what is the purpose. So now we have the internet and we have all types of ways that people are getting information. And then there's a lot of different types of radio programs and TV shows, that cable TV that people have access to, that do push different type of thought processes. And if a person locks them loads onto one that is about constantly hating people who are a different color, a different religion, one that they have chosen not to be what they approve of. That's what it's all about. A particular group of people decide that they hate Muslims. They absolutely hate. They don't even know anything about them, probably don't even know one, don't know what the people stand for, but they hate that belief system. And then they turn around and then they hate people that are of a darker hue. The person could be African-American, African, could be Chinese, could be Indian, could be Native American, could be from Alaska, could be from Australia and be of darker complexion, the indigenous people of those countries. And they just hate them, don't know anything about them. If you were to line all those people up together, they wouldn't even, couldn't even tell you what part of the world these people come from. They don't know. And so it's really important that we educate ourselves and we begin to understand that there's such an interaction on people on the planet that you can't look at a person and really know what their religion is. You can't look at a person and really know what their nationality is and what it is that they believe and what they bring to the planet. Somebody is educating certain people that no one else has brought anything to the planet but white, blonde, Aryan, Anglo-Saxon. And that is not true. And that is said that certain people believe that they're the only worthy people to live in America or in Europe. It is said. And the thing they really need to understand is that where they were really living at was a certain part of Europe. They weren't even in the Mediterranean countries. They weren't even in on what we call now United States soil. They weren't here. They weren't white people here. So you can't get back what you didn't even have. So here we have people arguing and fussing and killing and ramming people down about something that they didn't even have. You were here as uninvited guests. You came and bulldogged your way into a country where there were people of a whole different belief system, color, it's a whole different type of human being that was living here in North and South America and really all over the world, Southern Africa, all the African countries. And so it's a lot to, this must be very hurtful to face the reality, but it is a reality. And that's another thing. It's very difficult if the person can't face the reality, and that's why parents have to work with their children at a young age and sit them down. To the mothers and fathers, if you are not the one who's preaching this here and your young person is really going in that direction, you need to monitor that if they're staying in your home. Because you knew when you sent them out, when they left out, what type of people they were going to be going off with. And I do believe in some cases people are very, very aware of just how much deep hate their children have. The young adults, teenagers, and heaven forbid, the full-grown adults within their 40s and 50s, people know what these people believe and what they feel. They laugh about it at the dinner table, and they tell stories about what they've already done or who they know did something. And some of them still have those old 3x5 photographs of lynchings and things like that that their grandparents or their family members or people in their community still hold dear. This is holding dear to hate. That's what it's holding dear to. You're holding dear to hate, and you're insisting upon a way of life that should be over and behind us, and we should be going forward so that you and your children's children can go forward in peace instead of so much hate. Asking for and trying to defend a reality that's not a reality. So how do we as adults work towards peace? We have to find something that we believe in that's peaceful, which means that if you believe that there's a higher calling, there's a higher being, there's something that makes the sun shine, there's something that keeps the sun, the moon, and the earth revolving, and all the planets in a certain amount of speed and distance, And that is not just a coincidence. There's something powerful out there that set these things in motion. And that will help everybody. If you take the time to understand that the same powerful mechanism has breathed life into you and opened your eyes each day, that birthed you, that gave you your ability to move your fingers, the ability to move your shoulders and move your knees and your legs, your feet and your toes, and that the insides of your body, your liver, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your spleen, your pancreas, your lymph nodes are all operating, you know, without you even trying. The blood is going all through your veins without you doing anything, except for maybe you drank some water, you ate some healthy food, and that this creation, this creator, even gave you things to fuel your system, specific foods and fruits and nuts and seeds and air and water. I believe if every human being would just stop and think about life, not how everything's different, but look at the flower right in the, if you have some your backyard or front yard, and look at life as it's growing. And if you look amongst all the different type of plants, you realize that there are all these plants that's growing together. And within, if your yard looks like mine, or if you have a little wooded area, go and step out there, that there within 1 foot, there may be 20 different types of plants growing, and they're all getting along fine. There's cloves, there's thistle, there's different types of green grasses, there's dandelions, there's some type of shrubbery, there's peppermint, there's lavender. And it's all getting along. None of it looks alike. Not one piece looks like the next. Some of it has purple. Some of it has yellow. Some of it has white. A lot of it has a lot of green. And it's just like human beings, because we all have, if we're pretty healthy, we all have the same body structure, a head, arms, leg, you know, neck, you know, torso, buttocks, thighs and legs and kneecaps and feet. Just like the grass has, that is 90% of it is green, but it has other, you know, different other things. Like the dandelion will have white or yellow to it, you know. The buttercups will have the yellow. The lavender will have the purple. The thistle might be, I think, a deeper green or some purple with that. So we got to stop and say we're more alike than we are different. And the one thing is real. Every last one of us on the planet, every living flesh, a male, female, animal or human being, fish or fowl, flying, has to have air at some time, some type of oxygen. Even the fish in the water, they get so much oxygen. And, of course, they get plenty of water. We have to have water. We have to have oxygen. And what is oxygenated? We have a fluid that goes through our system, some sort of blood of some sort. And some of it, and the other animals, they call something that I don't know about the bird, what they call it, but they call it blood. Yeah. So we all have this in common. So why not teach your child and make sure they understand that these are things created by an unknown greatness that most people call God, some people call it Allah, Jehovah, some people call it Buddha. Whatever it is you call this, what created, what keeps everything in balance. It's not a coincidence. Right now you can breathe in there, you can wave your hand, and you can feel it move, but you can't grab it. You can put them in a jar, but you can't tell that it's in the jar. You just see the jar. With water, the only thing with water is you can put dyes in it and say, oh, okay, now I can see it differently. Because it's clear. You can see the water as it fills up the jar. This is, like, amazing. How about taking a few minutes and say, there's something amazingly beautiful and wonderful happening here. How about amazing and thankful and goodness? That's what we need to take the time to look at. This is Jasari's Love with the Jasari's Love Show. This is a 12 o'clock noon Friday show about peace and love and joy and harmony and working together with a willingly cooperative spirit. Male, female, people of all different religions, ethnicities, colors, creeds. There are going to be things that we're definitely not going to agree on, but we do not have to ram people down in vehicles to prove our point. And Mahatma Gandhi said yesterday to one of the Hindu men, he ran up to Mahatma Gandhi's bed and he was pouring his heart out. He had just gotten through smashing an infant baby's head into a wall. And why did he do it? He said he did it because someone had killed his young son. So he took someone else's infant baby and killed the baby, a Muslim child, a Muslim family, Muslim baby. He says, "I've sinned. I'm going to go to hell. And you can't die." He was telling Mahatma Gandhi, who was, you know, fasting, and everybody in Milan and India thought that he may die. That would be weighed on their conscience that they were fighting so much and that it affected this person this way. And so he said, "I don't want this on my conscience." So Mahatma Gandhi said, "Well, if you do not want to go to hell with that on your conscience, and you want to go to hell, then redeem yourself by adopting, find a child that has lost both their entire family, the mother and the father. Adopt this child and raise this child as if he's your own. But there's one thing you have to do to make a real difference, to repent. The child must be Muslim, and you must raise him as a Muslim." And the man's mouth fell open. And then he fell down beside the bed of Mahatma Gandhi. And I don't know if this was written to the school, if this is true, but this is what they showed yesterday. This was not a documentary. This was a movie. There's a couple of famous actors in it, you know. So the whole idea, though, is what do we do to restore peace and love? We reach over boundaries. If someone is thirsty, even if they're not of the same color, we give them water. I remember walking through the woods one day with a group of my children, and some Caucasian hikers came upon us, and they looked exhausted. I mean, they had been out there. They're pretty much wiped out, and they were like, "Miss, do you know where we can get some water because we need to fill up? We are exhausted." And instantly, I thought of the building we were working out of, the Rosno Heights Culture Center, and I told them, "Yes, go ring that bell right up there. As soon as you come through the woods, if you stay on the path, you see a brick building to your right. You cross the baseball field, and if you ring that bell and ask for my husband, Mr. Jahi, and tell him that your wife, that his wife sent you." And that opened up so many doors for us with the forestry program, the UMBC and Cornell University, the Garden Mosaic program. And it just opened up a bridge between black and white, because that program had everybody in it predominantly was Caucasian. There was only one African-American that we met through that program, and that was Ms. Vicki, who ended up working down at the aquarium in Baltimore City later on. So sometimes just from being kind, it was just a natural thing. It was just a human being, two human beings in need of water. I am African-American, and they were Caucasian. They looked like they were Caucasian. It could have been something else. They looked like they were Caucasian. I guess to them, I looked like I was African-American, but I'm in the African-American community. But that's what was happening at the precise moment, and I said yes. There was no way that I would say no. Oh, no, I have no idea we're getting water. It was, you know, pretty good, probably 92 degrees that day. We didn't take the show out on those hikes, so it was too close to 100. But, I mean, before we got back, it was probably 96 degrees. It was just being concerned for a fellow human being. That's it. Because of the way that I was raised. Again, as I've shared with a lot of you, my parents took us to church and we were 4 and 5 or maybe 3 years of age. So I was used to attending church services, used to singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." But more than anything, I was used to being someplace where it was preached about goodness. I could see loving justice between people at the end, because the first church I attended was in someone's home. There was delicious dinner and cake, people, cake, okay? So to me, that was loving. As a 3 or 4-year-old, that's pretty loving. When I moved and attended Whitestone Baptist Church with my friends Angela and Judy and Lewis and Kevin and Alan, and my brother Raymond and I walked up that hill. That was a good 15 blocks, I think. And we encountered love at Whitestone Baptist Church under the direction of Miss Moody. We sang on the choir. And there was, it was a place of love. If you surround yourself with love, 9 times out of 10, out of the ticket is going to come love. You, whatever you put in is what's going to come out. So we walked up there. We had a little bit of change. We stopped and got some candy. Well, that was loving. Candy's good. We shared it amongst our friends, our little group of friends, maybe about 5 to 8 of us, trucking along the church, a little black patent leather shoes on, white anklets, and the boys wore the little leather shoes and little suits. And we went on up to church, you know, and we looked forward to it. So my brothers usually fell asleep in part of it, and I might have fell asleep for about 10 minutes in church or never in Sunday school. I love Sunday school. But overall, they sang pretty songs, and people wore pretty dresses, and they talked about being kind and being gentle. Oh, yeah, they talked about thou shalt not do adultery and thou shalt not fornicate, and I didn't know what the heck that was back then. But they talked about the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God. Love. Not one time did they talk about being mean to anyone. And I don't remember them talking about any of the wars and all of that. As much as they talk about now, you know, Exodus and things like that, they probably did, but I didn't get all of that. What I got out of it was love and the loving care that we were in with the direction of Miss Moody, the choir director. It was love. That's what I experienced. When I attended Belmont, well, 148, there was love there. The schools, the principals, the teachers were loving and kind. Hey, when you get milk and graham crackers at 10 o'clock in the morning, that's pretty loving. And as a young child, there was the areas that we played in. You all remember kindergarten. You know, that's what we had anyway. Again, there was love. You talk love, you have love, you share love. Taking a child by the hand, love. Patting a person on the back, love. Sitting a person down and gently talking with them, love. Even when they've done something wrong that, you know, you didn't like. And a lot of times, parents, just slow down and just get ourselves together. Tell them the things that your children are doing you're getting too angry about. You're getting way too angry, and you're buying into this attitude of being mean-spirited. You're banging on children. Let's stop banging on people and being so mean. And telling little girls and boys to man up and to be bigger, because the world is a mean place. Okay, the world can be mean, but you're not helping things by being so mean in your own house where you live at, where they don't have to deal with anybody else but you, and you're the one that's mean. Stop being so angry and so mean. And find out what it is that you are so angry about. Maybe it's the dye in your hair that's affecting your thinking. Maybe it's the salt on your chicken. Maybe it's the extra 50 pounds on your hips that you put there and you're angry at the child. Maybe your boyfriend didn't show up or your husband didn't come back home and you're angry at a child. Maybe your lady stepped out on you and you're angry at a child. Get it together and put everything in the right perspective. What are you angry about and what can you do to change what you're angry about? Maybe you have the wrong people and person in your life. Maybe you're attending the wrong type of events like the Atlanta Housewives show, bringing a lot of anger. All of these shows that everybody's talking about how good they are, but is it bringing attitude and anger into your life? Do you see your girlfriend, yourself acting out some of these movies? And I enjoy looking at a movie, okay, but I don't want it to become part of my personality. And I see so many women thinking that they really are part of the Atlantic Housewives because they've added the big butt, they got the extra big boobs, man, and eyelashes that could knock you down, and they're throwing false hair around to the point where I don't even know if they ever they really think it really is theirs. Well, you paid for it, it's $1,500, so I guess it is yours. But how is it making you act? How is it making you act towards your children, your mother? Oh, my God, I don't even want to go there. Your father, your brothers, your sisters, whether you had physical brothers or sisters or not. How are you treating people? Do you think you're so right that you have to be harsh and mean? Just pull it back a little bit, just a little bit. And we have to say this because we have a head of our country who's justifying some of the behavior that people do. He justified it all through his campaign. Pull him off the bar stool. Drag him down the street. Throw him in. Just throw him in the paddy wagon. Throw him in that car. I don't worry about whether you hit their head or not or break their neck or their spine. It could be innocent people. They don't care. It's all about how we, the adults, starting with the president of this United States, we're not going to let him be our role model for anything. But he needs to be into, you know, his character. He has, as a president, one should have a good character. And we've had a lot of them that did not have good character. We know this. But we really should see it now. Because anytime a president is saying to people who do this, he has a child. He has a 10-year-old boy. So what is he saying to this child? The child is hearing everything his dad is saying. His dad is not just his dad. He is the president of the United States. And that goes for any leader in the world. What are you saying out of your mouth about blowing people up and killing innocent people? Why? We have to have peaceful ways of dealing with things. Maybe people at the heads of state should just arm wrestle. Because that's peaceful, really. I mean, they could get in the ring and they could box it out. But boxing is kind of a violent thing to me. But they could arm wrestle and just accept the fact that one's going to lose. So what is that going to make mean that they're going to have to do? That means they're going to have to really work on weightlifting, eating healthy so they can be the stronger man and win. Or lose. And when you lose, you receive whatever however we figure that out as a country. But everywhere we go and every walk of life, we have to think of peace. It holds a door for someone, whether they're male, female, black or white or Muslim or if you even know, if they look like they're whatever they are. I was actually riding in a car with a lady who was a Christian, and she saw a Muslim person up ahead, and she was like, don't go near that person because they'll probably cut your head off. And I was like, what in the world, what? I was in North Carolina, I'm like, what, where, who? Anybody crazy out in the street could cut your head off, heaven forbid. But she actually thought that because it was a possible Muslim person in the store that was going to happen. So that's a lot of actual unnecessary fear. We need to, be watchful of anybody. That young guy that ran those people down, he didn't look like he was anybody to just fear. But he did. He ran them people down. And I understand that some people run down this thing just yesterday. But whatever we do, as hard as it is, and as much as we disagree with other people, we want to practice peace. Now, with that said, if the other side is not practicing peace, it makes it harder to do things in a peaceful way. We have to have different strategies that still come out with peaceful outcomes. And I don't have the answer when people start talking about dropping bombs on each other's country. I don't have the answer to that because I can try to pray away a bomb, but, kind of difficult. But there's a reality with that. But within yourself, so again, do peaceful things. if you find yourself getting all worked up, go start a garden. And in your garden, plant things that you would like to eat that are calming foods. Go plant yourself some carrots and some beautiful purple eggplants and some tomatoes and some cucumbers and some peppers and some beans. And tend to your garden. Take up your time and energy by doing things like that. Read books about people who practice peace. That's very, very important. Reading books, here's a good book, 30 Days Taming Your Tongue by Deborah Smith. Last name is T-E-G-U-E-S. Read that book. Read something by Iyanna Van Zandt. Can't go wrong with her. Acts of Faith by Iyanna, I-Y-A-N-L-A, Van Zandt. V-A-N-Z. Uh-oh, hold on, I got to get her name right. And, of course, Z-A-N-T. If you read books by these people, it will help you. Bruce Wilkinson, The Prayer of Jabez. Bruce Wilkinson, Peace. There are a lot more books on peace. I don't have them all. Just your daily bread. That should help you. I want to take a moment to, again, remind you, this is Home-Based Business 101. I'm getting ready to leave the air. This is Cynthia Jahi of the Stars Love Show. Make sure you catch Baba Jahi on Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the Home-Based Business 101. Keep a look. Anything you want to know about taxes and why you want to have a home-based business and why you also want to have the best travel deals in town, check with Baba Jahi, 9 a.m., Sunday morning, okay, Baba Jahi, Home-Based Business 101. Travel tips from the New Yorker, Victoria Falk, you know, a wonderful, wonderful person. Then myself, 12 o'clock noon on Fridays. I'm talking about love and peace. And, hey, how do you get to know about people? Well, you travel. And when you travel, you can meet the people of the land. And if they haven't been given a lot of false information about you, you may have an opportunity to bridge a gap by traveling. So I'm going to give you a website that can save you on your travel 85 to 95% of the time. This is a gift, people. Let's not make it complicated. It is www.myvortex. That's V as in Barry, O-R-T-E-X, Vortex. I'm sorry, vortex365.com/MU Group, G-R-O-U-P, MU Group. If you have any questions on how to pronounce that, just look me up, Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, Jahi, J-A-H-I. Look me up on Facebook and just go ahead and message me. And just say, hi, I listen to your show, and I really would like the gift. This is for new people who don't have it, not for people who are already in the Vortex or the Surge 365. And also, we have an exciting paper called the National Black Unity News. Notice I say unity. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? Promoting unity in our communities, we're keeping the dream alive. If you would like to be able to have an ad in our national paper, then again, you can contact me. Just look me up on Facebook, or you can text me at 252-406-0774 and say, look, I would like to advertise in the National Black Unity News, and I'll give you the cost of that. And we're also still looking for some more editors for our newspaper. We have the promotional out right now. I am signing that off for people, and our first edition comes out in December. And this paper is about peace, and it's about us taking care of our community. It's about fit and nutrition, the weight, eating some delicious African food, authentic Senegalese cuisine, an American favorite. Ooh. It's just really, really good information. There's a nanotechnology, how to take care of your business, analysis and consultant firm. I mean, there's all types of people calling, all rhythm people. We have a young lady who who wants the rhythm people. We have Legal Services, Legal Shield, a gentleman by the name of Nat, what's his name, Antonio Adair. We have a lot of things going on this paper. We have travel, www.myvoitex365.com/MU Group. It will save you on your travel 85 to 95% of the time. Now, let's make sure we end in peace. Whatever you pray about and you ask for, keep this in mind, that you simply want, you want to thank your God, your Creator, to bring into your consciousness the perfect solution in the perfect way at the perfect time for the best of all who are involved, for the best for every plant, for the animals on the planet, for every human being, whether you dress like them, wear your hair like them, your skin tone may be different, you may pray differently. You want the best for all, the best of all who are involved. You want the best for all who are involved. Step back out of the picture and think of peaceful things to do so that we can have a peaceful solution that can lead to a peaceful resolution and a peaceful future for us all. Find yourself some soft and beautiful, peaceful music. Put yourself in some happy-looking shirts, something that's bright and cheerful. Sit down and eat a piece of food that is calming, you know, like a carrot. Carrot can't get much calmer than a carrot. Eat something that's just going to calm you down. I had pancakes this morning. I think that's kind of calming, pancakes with some nice strawberry jam with some fresh strawberries. I had syrup. That was sweet, but I'm still pretty calm. I had some delicious peppermint tea with honey. What you physically indulge in affects your attitude also. So you want to eat foods with less sodium and less salt, and things that will not agitate your system. Think about if something makes you hyper. So you want to get rid of the caffeine. Do not have do coffee and all that stuff. Eliminate that and have the calming things. This is the Gestalt Love Show, and we want you to think, pray, and do something that's going to be about love and about peace, and something that's going to be in the perfect way, the best of your ability, for the best of all who are involved and affected. Amen. I say good day. Have a great weekend. Peace.